Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
I'm Austin DeCeder.
And we.
I'm Luna.
we do have a special guest with us today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Luna. That's right. I'm over doing the YouTube stuff and the Twitch stuff here on the Cryptic Commander.
That's right. That's right, guys. Because he's stepping forward, so from behind the scenes, he's jumping into the scenes. And we're going to delve into a few topics, starting off with card of the week.
All right. The card of the week, we decided to go upon Mindslaver, which let me go ahead and pull that right up here. Mindslaver is a 6 generic or 6 colorless. It's a legendary artifact and has an ability, pay 4, tap it, sacrifice Mindslaver. You control target player's next turn. You see all cards that player could see and make all decisions for that player. He or she doesn't lose life because of mana burn. That was back when mana burn was a thing.
Wow. What edition are you reading that off of?
I think the Meriden.
A Scarface?
Yeah, they got some newer sets where they just completely got rid of the mana burn part.
Is it the Red Circle one?
No, I'm looking at where it's got the sword.
Oh, okay. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, that would have been Meriden.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Scars of Meriden one. Makes sense. Yeah. It's a beautiful card. I remember only one time experiencing it, and that was against Ogre. I think I mentioned this deck on the podcast before where he just did the channel. Instead of channel Fireball, he did a channel, and then he somehow drew his whole deck, and then he started playing like infinite Mindslavers on everybody. You know, it was a horrible experience, but fun nonetheless.
I know we've also seen it in Blue Tron, you know, the People's Tron, where, you know, you'll just get your Tron lands out, make a bunch of mana, but instead of trying to go into like your like. I guess like there's the Eldrazi variant in Modern, but instead of that, you would just try to get a lock going with Mindslaver and Academy Ruins, the land that one blue, one generic, tap it, put an artifact from your graveyard back on top of your deck. So you would just loop Mindslavers to essentially get infinite turns.
Yeah. Yeah. You say in Modern, huh?
Yeah, in Modern. Though I will say some of my favorite uses of it are in Commander. I play it in my Tasigur like voting deck, where I'm playing all like the group hug political cards. But then I'm also playing cards like Mindslaver, where I can kind of recur that with Tasigur. Yeah, okay. It's a spicy pile. I enjoy playing it.
Yeah, my only experience really with Mindslaver, not so much playing it, but playing against it, where it was in Modern, I was new to the format. I had this mono red burn deck, and out of nowhere, a player with mono blue Tron just Mindslavers me over and over and over again. It was one of the most frustrating things, but it was the first time I was introduced to infinite combos, which it was a wide opening. It was something that I enjoyed, the fact you can do so much with the magic. There's so many different routes you can go with aggro, mid-range, combo, and control, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's an oldie but goodie. I mean, it's you know, you consider it a classic, you can consider it a staple. I like Mindslaver. That's a good card of the week. Okay, going over to page 2 then. So, Movers and Shakers, we have Dark Depths at $18.11, which is record low, and bottoming out.
I know for a fact this was played in Legacy Lands. I don't know if it's still played in there, but as far as I know, this was the win condition of Legacy Lands.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time, you're just using a Hex Mage, you know, turn 2, get a Merit Lage out.
Wow.
It does see some Commander play, mostly with, like, Vesuva and, you know, other lands pieces. So with, like, all the land support in this last set, it actually surprises me that this card has, you know, gone down to where it has. But I guess the recent reprint has kind of influenced that.
And what set did it get reprinted in?
It looks like last reprint would have been...
Well, the new set, Zendikar Rising, I think it was, right?
Oh, no.
It would have been Ultimate Masters or...
Double Masters. There was a Double Masters print. Yeah.
Wow.
I was remembering as one of these. I couldn't remember if it...
Got it. And then we got Turn Timber Symbiosis. Did I mispronounce that again?
we'll edit it. It's fine.
$7.14. Record low and trending down. Lithoform Engine, $12.33. Record low and trending down. What do you think about that, Lithoform?
So I think, honestly, getting this card while it is cheaper, I think is a good call. It's hard to reprint. It's something where, like, maybe it shows up in, like, a commander set, you know, a couple years from now or something. But it kind of reminds me a lot of, like, Rings of Brighthearth in its effect, at least.
Right.
And I think that it's just kind of broad enough to apply to a lot of strategies that care about, like, activated abilities.
Triggered abilities.
Exactly. I think there's a wide enough appeal across, you know, the broad spectrum of Commander that this card, you know, could definitely see play in a lot of things. That being said, it is still... I mean, Zendikar Rising is super heavily opened, so, like, that's kind of keeping that price down. But I think over time, enough organic demand might push that up at least a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I can see future sets spiking this guy up.
For me, it's one of those things that definitely, I think it's, as years go on, it would, like Austin said, it's going to be difficult to print this unless it was in Commander. I see this as a Commander card more than overall, and I definitely think it's going to keep dipping down, but with Kaldenheim coming out, there might be some new mechanics that they might want to put this in. For me, it's how much mana, though, it costs to be able to activate it and cast it. Is just, I don't see it playing much out of, besides of Commander, or possibly Brawl while it's in Standard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the casting cost alone is really hefty. I've been playing with it myself.
Yeah, and I do think one thing that does hold it back, kind of like Luna was saying, was how mana intensive it is. Most of the decks that would want it that are like playing Rings of Brighthearth anyway, this doesn't act as Rings of Brighthearth copy 2. This is definitely a lot more mana intensive.
Right. For Standard, not so bad. If you're going that direction, just really it's not being played a lot. I can see why it's going down. Moving to number three, Lavissa Cold Eyes, if I pronounce this one right. $2.25, which is up 90.68%. Lavissa Cold Eyes.
Legend. So I think there is like some speculation going on here with like Kaldheim having kind of a focus on, you know, warriors, Vikings, dwarves, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably just going to slot into those decks. I think one thing that's important to keep in mind here is that there are a lot of copies of this card out there because there was actually a dual deck printing. I think that was...
Was it a Brains versus Bronze where this
Brain, I think that was... Was it the one with Arcanus? Let me double check. Yeah, it looks like Mind versus Might, yeah.
Yeah, the speculation, I definitely could see this as a possibility. The fact that there's going to be a lot of Vikings and the subtypes with Barbarian, Warrior, and Berserkers is definitely a possibility. Seeing that we have seen a Dwarf Berserker, an Angel Berserker, and a Giant Berserker. No, we haven't. Yeah, we've seen those. So the fact that the speculation of we're going to a Norse place, plane, it's all about this Nordic mythology and the fact that is a very common thing within Viking lore. So it makes sense.
And that Magda, Brazen Outlaw, too. It goes with that card. The one that just got spoiled from Kaldheim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Moving to number two, we have Dwarven Recruiter. If you guys remember this, it's a classic. Dwarven Recruiter. $8.09, which is up 609.65%.
So, funny story. This is actually the second time this card has spiked like this.
Really?
I remember back in Kaladesh, when they announced dwarves were going to be a tribe on Kaladesh, even though we didn't get a lot of focus on them from like a tribal perspective. Like, that caused this to spike pretty aggressively. And I think it's definitely, I mean, it settled down fast when we didn't really have any playable dwarves. But now I think they've seen that, and I think they've seen that, yeah, there is demand for dwarves, and I think this is definitely the place to implement dwarves.
They're going to have that Forgotten Realms set come out, and I'm speculating right now there's going to be dwarves in that set.
That's true, and I think if that is something that we are going to see more of, this card's definitely, you know, a good pickup. I would say probably don't pay into it for what it's at right now, but if you can get one on the cheap, yeah, I think it's definitely a card that to keep an eye on if we do get any like playable dwarves.
So you're hoping it goes back down real quick. That's what you're hoping.
Oh, absolutely. I think with something like this, people want to get their copies early so they can play those, you know, those dwarf decks on day one. But if you're not really in a rush to build dwarves, I would wait for this to settle.
Speaking of dwarves, day one, coming out at number one this week on Movers and Shakers, Dwarven Blood Boiler at $8.98. Hold your horses, hold your belly button on this one. It's up 1,732.65%.
I'm curious if this one had a spike when Kaladesh came out as well. The simple fact that it's a Dwarf Lord. We are getting another Dwarf Lord here in Kaladinheim, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know if it's worth that gigantic spike, but if a dwarf deck appears in Commander, it's definitely worthy of it.
Oh, I'd be interested in seeing it. You know, I think I said it before on this podcast. I really do. I've been playing this game for a while, guys. I really do think that the future of Magic the Gathering is Commander. I really do. You know? And more each week, as we report on this, the proof is in the pudding, you know? And a lot of the reasons why these cards spike is because of Commander. That's my opinion. That was Movers and Shakers this week. Now, I think we will go ahead and take a commercial break real quick. And then when we come back, we'll talk about a few of these footnotes. We'll have some viewer questions or listener questions. And we're going to talk about the meat and potatoes of today's episode. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.